Like I said, we already appreciate being here. Appreciate the songs. And as Rick was singing that one, then Robert was testifying, I know what he's speaking about, the meaning of God to me today has increased. That night, the only thing I wanted was just not to be alone. And it was good enough that I accepted that, and I realized I wasn't alone, that's all right. But through the years, I can look back now, and just like I, this is for my personal being, I reckon, you know, and I still can't get, I had plenty of letters from people, but I still can't get over Sister Ellis's letter to me. And like I've told them, at the time that I was receiving letters away from here, it was a comforting thought. And I look back now, and until I really started reading back over these letters, people talk about the army and stuff like that, and I said, well, I made it. I made it through it. And when I started reading all that, I started remembering that I didn't make it through it by myself. And after reading them again, they're really more precious to me today than they was then, because they was helping me then, but I didn't realize how much that they was helping me and how much more that it kept me from getting into, because it was a thought of my heart. Now, I still faltered and I still failed. I ain't going to stay here and tell you I crossed every T and dotted every I that I was supposed to. But the length of the farthness of getting out was prevented by the church in my heart. Because I remember many times things that I was just about was to partake of. And then the feeling or the Lord speaking to me says, but if something happens, what is the church going to think? I know there's people that live their life about, I don't care what nobody thinks. Well, I ain't one of them people. It matters to me what people thinks about me. Now, it ain't up to me to go and start changing my lifestyle to please everybody. Because there's still going to be somebody that ain't going to like you. I don't care how straight and narrow that you walk. There's still going to be somebody that ain't going to like you. But they ain't going to like you because they ain't going to like you, not because really what you're doing. But I can stand here and tell you the biggest impact of my life has been the church. Now, like I said, God blessed me with a good mom and daddy bringing me, introduced me to the Lord. But the church helped me through, and I didn't realize at the time them songs that you sang more precious now than what he was then. Just like Robert said, the older you get, the more behind you you got, the more realization of things. And even at times that God has even spoke to you and you didn't even realize it at the time, now you're looking back and said, that must have been him. That must have been him. But we'll probably just read in a couple places here. And there again, I know y'all, some of you might get tired of hearing me say it, but I just can't get her letter off my mind about how she wrote it. But anyway, we're going to read, first place we're going to read is in Romans chapter 13. And we'll start. Well, verse 12. I'll just read the last few verses of chapter 13 of Romans. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or in wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And then in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, we're just going to start from the beginning and read of it. It says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in turmoils, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfinished, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report, by good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chaste and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Then we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 6. Like I said, these are familiar scriptures, but chapter 6, verse 11, it reads, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And what we was thinking about really today, and it's just a thought, like I said, ain't probably going to have much to it, but when you're fighting, when you go into a battle, you have to have a battle plan. You don't just jump up one day and say, hey, I think I'm going to go fight. You got a plan. Because whenever you really are fighting, you are looking for a winning outcome. And for a winning outcome, you have to have a plan, a battle plan. Now, most of us is old enough to remember Desert Storm. And people get up in arms and excited about whenever they start looking and says, it just took our troops 22 days to go in there in that battle. But you know what? The foot soldiers didn't go in there first. They was things that was preparing and things that was happening so that whenever they went in there to war, that they didn't have to have as much opposition as what they would have had if they just walked right on in. You see, there was almost a month of day and night of the artillery happening. You see, the artillery, that's what I was in. We ain't on the front line. But we're back here giving support to the front line, and we're knocking down and taking care of some opposition before that they have to go in. Now, you say, what does that really got to do with anything? Well, you see, this is one of the Satan's biggest battlegrounds right here in amongst us where we are. This is one of the biggest battlegrounds. I know it's in here, don't get me wrong, but as a whole, come Sunday morning, there's going to be a battle right here. I'm already going to tell you. Because God's going to have something or other for somebody to do, and they're going to be saying, well, I can't do it quite as good as they can. I might not can sing as good as they can. There's going to be a battle going on. But you know what we can do? We can prepare for that battle before it comes. From Sunday to Sunday, there's 7 days that we can gather up a plan. And you might say, well, I don't know much about a plan. In the last verse of this right here, it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't no better plan than that. In one of them places, it says, have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, I'm going to tell you, we've already been thinking about Sunday getting here. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know of any of us that has tried to think about Sunday and say, I can't wait Sunday gets here so I can have a dry service. I ain't never done it. Now, I've been dry in the services, don't get me wrong. But I ain't never planned on it being that way. But if I didn't prepare for it, then I've been defeated in that area. I used to say, Lord, bless me Sunday when it gets here. Bless me, bless me. Well, He's changed my whole attitude in them areas. I say, Lord, You just let Your will be done, because I like to see somebody saved. And I'm going to tell you this, and it don't make me better than nobody, or maybe I'm a crazy thinker, I don't know. But I say, Lord, even if I don't get nothing, don't let me be a hindrance to somebody else. You see, every battle ain't mine. Sometimes I jump in a battle that I don't even supposed to be in. And I'm going to say this, I didn't know it for years, but Thurman Hightower, he started pastoring church years ago one time. He said for a whole year, it wasn't nothing but just back and forth, heavy hearts, everything bad, couldn't get nothing going. He said, and I prayed to the Lord, he said, Lord, how long are You going to leave me here? And he said, Lord told him, he said, I didn't send You here to start with. You see, we get into battle sometimes that we don't even supposed to be there, no matter how big we think somebody is. I'm an overthinker. I think I can figure it out if I get in there, but I need to just leave it alone. Now, when I was also in the Army, what we would do, we would go and we would have an Army war simulation where we was out in the field. Now, you say, what does that have to do? We need to simulate church through the week. When we was younger, there again, still talking about Brother Thurman Hightower, I was him a few times in the backyard. Tracy was him a few times in the backyard. We don't believe in women preachers, but I think Pam was a couple of times. But still yet, you know, we knew that they was something. And I'm going to tell you, Thurman had a battle plan. Now, he ain't the only one. I know I've been close to the Lord and I've been away from Him. And the times I've been close to Him, I've had a battle plan. And it wasn't my plan. So there's things that we got to do if we can just do things to help somebody else. Just like Randy has said, if you want more out the preacher, you pray for the preacher. But don't start at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Let's start on Monday or Sunday night. You can't never start too early, I don't reckon. Because I'm going to tell you, he battles as much as we battle. Sometimes I used to think God just pours it out on him. Well, I found out he don't. He pours it out on them because they've been preparing for the battle. And the battle plan here is set forth for every day. When Paul said, I die daily, that was his battle plan. Because I got to die out so he can increase, I got to decrease. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. The Bible also says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. So all that goes along with the battle plan. Meditate day and night on God's word. I know we still got jobs. We still got to do things. But Sunday's coming, okay? And what you need to expect, and I'm going to expect, they're going to be a battle right here. For one thing, if somebody that's here and they're lost, and there's really going to be a battle. And we need to be prepared. See, David's brothers, when you heard them talk, they was in Saul's army. And I'm sure that they showed them some things. I'm sure that they helped them learn a few things. But they wasn't prepared for what they was seeing. And whenever the giant come out, defying the armies of God, and said, just send me one out here. That's all you have to do. There ain't no need everybody else getting harmed, but you send me one. They wasn't prepared for that. They was prepared as a group. Now, what David didn't really know was God was preparing him because he was the only one over there. And I started thinking about this today. Goliath, a big old man. A bear's a big old bear. So he was sending something other that was simulated to what the size might have been. A lion has a big roar, and so did Goliath. So he was simulating even the roarness of what he had to say. You see, not only did the size scare the men, but the speaking scared them because they was not prepared for that. But then David shows up. He didn't even know he was prepared for it. But once it happened, God brought it back to his memory. You remember the bear? You remember the lion? So he said, I understand the preparation that you started having me to go through. Because where he was helping and saving his daddy's sheep, now he's over saving God's sheep. Because he was prepared. Now, I often thought this, because you know how kings led their men into battle. I said, that's pretty raw of Saul not to lead his king. And the Lord said, well, he wasn't king no more. They had to wait till the king come over. And David was the king. Nobody else knew it, but God knew it. But David was prepared. because he had a plan, because he remembered what God did for him. And if we remember what God did for us, I believe them roars that we hear won't sound as loud. Them big giants that we see in our life, they won't seem so big. But it's a battle plan that we have to put forth now. We can't wait to the last minute to put something together. Because if we do that, I believe we walk out a little bit on the defeated side. But God has gave us a plan here. And He has told us how to use it. And if you really concentrate in your life just for a minute right now, you'll see a few things in your life, just like what the song said, that He's done, that has prepared you for this very moment in life. There's things that happens all of a sudden and we want to rire up, but if we just like He said there, if we just stand still, if you did all you can do, just stand, and just listen. God will let you know what some of His plan is. Now, you have to live some of it, and you have to perform it. You have to experience it to get some of the understanding. But God has a plan. He has a battle plan for you, for me, and for us as a whole. So just come Sunday, get ready for a fight. One thing I can tell you. So, but that's all I had. I just thought of it today, just as I was at work. But we appreciate being here. Appreciate the service. And anybody got anything they'd like to say or do? I know tonight's conference, but we'll give away if anybody has anything that they'd like to say, do, or anything, we'll give you time.